Okay, I think we're about ready to start. And again, if you missed the announcement, I have a lot of slides. I'm a radiologist, visual. And so if you want to slide up, you can. But I think it's a pretty decent screen. At any rate, I'm David Ayoub, and let me start by asking you to bow your heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak before the brothers and sisters in this church. We thank you for the leaders of this church that have organized a class that unfortunately so many churches do not want to handle, the topics that are controversial in our society to an unbelieving society. We wrestle with this because we live in the world, but we're not of the world, Lord, and we're thankful for your grace that we have all sinned, that we acknowledge that we've all fallen short of your glory, and we are worthy of death. But through your grace, through Christ our Lord, we have been given salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, a short introduction to who I am. I'm David Ayoub. I've been a member here for, 4 or 5 years or so. And I'm a radiologist. I'm not an expert in abortion. So when Gary gave me the opportunity to look at some topics and to participate as a teacher, this is a topic that has been, it's crossed my path a number of ways, a number of very unusual ways, going back even to high school. So this is going to be a two-part talk. We're going to talk about largely creation today in life, and this is going to be more uplifting than not, rated G for general audiences. But next week we're going to talk about the opposite of that spectrum. Just to let you know, it's a very hard topic to talk about without bringing distress to our hearts. For sure. Let me start by asking you, has anyone seen this picture? It's a very famous picture. Have you seen this in brochures, flyers, and so forth? I was looking for a cover art for the title, which I titled this talk, Abortion, the Bible, and the Believer. And this is very interesting. It's almost a manifestation of the deception that surrounds this topic. This is a photograph from a very famous Swedish photographer named Lennart Nilsson, and this showed up on the cover of a 1965 version of Life magazine. This was a photo series. This photograph was in this series. And in the article, which I've read, the reader would get the idea that this was a photograph, which he said he took during surgical procedures on live babies. And in fact, he died in January this year, and the Atlantic magazine and the National Review magazine wrote tributes to him and disclosed that he actually had lied, that this is not a live baby. And you can see, if you're familiar with photography, you know this is backlit, and the camera's in the front, so this is staged. These are dead babies that were taken from abortion procedures, largely. There was only one live baby in his series. So it's ironic that we put this on the cover of Life magazine when, in fact, it's about death. But to God's glory, this has been used to educate people. And this is one of the first color photographs of a fetus. We've educated a lot of people with photographs like this. Through this tragedy, we have a very good idea, and more so today than ever, that this unborn child is actually a human made in God's image. Okay. Again, today we're going to talk about largely about life. There's going to be a little intermingling of these topics for perspective purposes. I have some disclosures. Number one is thankfulness. I'm very thankful for the opportunity. This is my first class I've ever taught in Sunday school, so I'm humbled by that. I'm thankful for this opportunity, and again, for this church. I adore what Gary and the leadership has done. We just allow to explore and discuss topics amongst ourselves that are just taboo even in other churches. I'm humbled because I think it's a great responsibility to teach the Word of God, and I'm not going to stray far from the Word. I can't. Even though I practice in this world, in the physical world, I rely on Scripture. I'm also humbled as I look at the list of speakers and I realize that I have two lectures. I'm the only one that's given two, and I want to explain that. I felt a little humiliated, actually, that I've robbed, even Gary has given one talk, and some other veteran speakers have given one. And when I was given the list to sign up, it was a blank list, and I thought, well, they're really looking for people. And I said, I could probably do two of these classes. And to my chagrin, as I look at the list, I was the only one that had two. So it puts a lot of pressure on me because I'm the only speaker who's going to get feedback the next week by your attendance. So the pressure's on me. Self-righteousness. I'm a sinner. And in God's eyes, he sees sin much different than we tend to see sin in ourselves or in others. The Bible says if we hate what we've murdered. And so I don't want to be perceived as self-righteousness because I need Christ. I am a sinner and I've murdered. Every Sunday when the Bears get beat, I murder a quarterback. Last week I murdered Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, several times. Okay. And prejudice. Women carry babies, okay, but this is not just a women issue. And if I refer to women and choices, it is really, we're talking about, first of all, individual sin. It is not necessarily the women that is being pushed into abortion. It can be a grandparent. It could be a husband, a boyfriend. It could be a counselor, a minister, a preacher. And the industry is irrelevant of who's carrying the baby. The industry, we have legislators that are men. We have abortionists that are men, obviously. So this isn't, I don't want to be perceived as being sexist or racial or prejudice. This affects the human flesh. This is a sin nature of all of us. And just my philosophy, and I showed my wife this picture, and she goes, why is she going to jump? And I go, well, it wasn't probably the best picture. She's not a jumper. but my belief is, and especially as a physician, I'm in this physical world, I'm surrounded and have pressures in this world by my peers, by societies, by organizations. And everything, I try to filter the perceived truths, the messages I get in this world through the scripture. And the ultimate truth in my mind is scripture. And what I believe has got to be filtered through that. As an example, a terrible mistake I made when I went to college is that I learned to believe in evolution because of the biology classes. In a class that was 20 times the size by an authoritative figure on a stage, I changed or tweaked my biblical perspective in believing God could create through evolution. Now, I no longer believe that. But had I taken what I had seen in this world through the textbook, through the Word of God, I would have known that that would have never panned out. I was just completely fooled. And so I pray that never happens again, and I try to use that as a model. But we can all be deceived. Even a consensus opinion that we might have may be wrong in God's eyes. Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. God doesn't count votes, okay? His truth is his absolute truth. And even if we are pressured to believe something, and it can happen very, very gradually in the case of abortion, that we hear this over and over again, it's a choice, it's okay, it's not a human being. Even Christians can fall prey to this. And there are Christian organizations that are pro-choice, as a matter of fact. Okay, so let's talk about creation. And this obviously is not a real picture. A stork can't put hats on because they don't have opposable thumbs, so this is Photoshopped. Okay, so really the line in the sand is, and really the debate, if we can boil this down, is to when life begins. This is the crux of the matter. And we can listen to what man says, science. Science and politics, I've learned a long time ago, are separate beasts. And what God says. So those are really the important things we'll talk about. I'm going to summarize what science says in really one textbook. This is a standard textbook, Embryology, Langmans, 2014. And it states what is a very clear consensus in the scientific community. You will find this going back decades over thousands of textbooks, multiple specialties. Development begins at fertilization. The male gamete, the sperm, and the female gamete, the oocyte or egg, unite and give a zygote. So the first unique DNA structure. This is life. Okay, this is not what the courts have said. But this is a consensus, and you might be surprised by that. And let me get my pointer. This is a picture we saw a couple weeks ago when we talked about stem cell. So basically, the uterus and the fallopian tube is attached to the ovary, and fertilization actually occurs in the fallopian tube, not the uterus, where the egg is released and the sperm travels through the fallopian tube and meets in the fallopian tube, and there is a unique DNA structure formed called the zygote. Now, a couple interesting things. We talked, and I said I would get the answer a couple weeks ago about the stem cell. How do you get embryonic stem cells from this early stage when this birth product, the early baby, is not in the uterus. And I didn't know at that time. And obviously, this would be a very tough surgical procedure to time out, figure out when fertilization occurred, and then surgically remove. And that's not how it's done. So with ultrasound, a needle is put in the ovary, and eggs are removed. And they're mixed with sperm in a petri dish, essentially, artificially. And sometimes sperm is injected into the egg, and life is created. And the embryonic stem cells are created from these early stages. So just I wanted to answer that question I said I would give you a few weeks ago. Now, one thing I'd point out is look at the form and function here. This is the end of the fallopian tube. It's fimbriated. It looks like a hand. What a God we have. I mean, can you imagine if he made this like a boot? You know, would pregnancy be as successful or an octagon shape like a stop sign? But no, it's a hand. It's like reaching out, grabbing the egg and say, come and we'll produce life. It's a beautiful design. Okay. I want to show you, this isn't auto run. Okay, this is a brief video of, it's an illustration of life from start to finish. And I want to show you this is because really we have the technology, the graphics to show you based on reality what life looks like in the womb. And I'll let the animator and the narrator talk about this. But I want you to keep one thing in mind. This is from conception to delivery. We can abort in the United States in up to 20 weeks. Every state in this union, the United States, it's legal to abort 20 weeks. So as you're looking at the timeline, you're looking through 20 weeks, I want you to realize that these infants are murdered in the uterus during this first 20-week period. And after 20 weeks, from 20 to 40 weeks, which is full term, only 20 states restrict. So 30 states allow late-term abortions. And I want you to look at what the baby looks like in the uterus. And I want to say that today because next week I'm going to show you some interviews with people on the street. And I'm going to give you some anecdotal experiences that so many of people and in schools today going forward, we don't know. We're clueless as to what is inside the uterus, what is developing. And that's where, I mean, the most important thing is what God says. But what this is going to tell you a lot just by looking yourself and seeing what is unseen to our eyes during development.
Only two cells are needed to create a baby. Two cells and a miracle. In just 9 months, this pair of cells blossoms into billions of cells. Gently nestled and protected in a mother's womb, a tiny human thrives. Together, mother and baby share this journey of life, this magnificent adventure called pregnancy.
That's the gestational sac. 6 weeks, you can see the heartbeat. This flicker is the heartbeat. There's the head and the heartbeat at 7 weeks. Heartbeat, 8 weeks. Clearly a brain is developing limbs, heartbeat. 10 weeks, limbs, face, nose. 13 weeks, bones, ribs, spine, stomach, heart, all formed and functioning. Three-dimensional now, ultrasound, surface, renditions, heartbeat again, motion, clearly human form. 19 weeks, four chambers of the heart are seen. And I'll let the images speak for themselves. Expressions. Opening the eyes. a big smile. She hasn't done any laundry yet. I think that's why. That'll change. Okay. All right. So, what's the debate on the origins of life? When is the beginning? Again, the scientific community says it's fertilization. It's when the unique DNA structures are intermixed, 23 chromosomes combined for a unique individual. There are other opinions that are being used. Largely, this is the pro-abortion or pro-choice crowd. Viability, it begins when the baby would be born at that age and survive. Of course, we know that even 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds won't survive without parental support. Sometimes in 10-, 11-year-olds, I don't know what would survive. Various fetal landmarks like brain activity, movement, heart activity, and so forth have been used. In the worst case, live birth would define life. And this is what the Supreme Court decided, which is an abomination. This is almost nobody talks about this today. And off to college, of course, is a different idea. It's some kids think their life begins after they go to college, and some parents think life begins after the kids go to college. Okay. This article was published in 2017, New England Journal, and speaking of viability, what is the viability of a developing fetus? And the trends have been positive, so we were able to keep preterm babies alive at earlier ages. And the pivotal point seems to be around the 22 to 24 week period, which is roughly halfway through pregnancy. At 22 weeks, 3% survive, 97% mortality. But this jumps to at 24 weeks, just 2 weeks later, over half of the babies survive. So viability, which I wouldn't use as definition of life, is a 50% proposition at about 24 weeks. Okay. Landmarks. What are the other landmarks that are used? I'll quote Luke here. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in the womb. Now the scripture says that the baby that Elizabeth was carrying is about 6 months old. Let me read you just a couple key landmarks, okay, for development. And this is several medical sources were combined to give this summary. I found this on the internet. But I'm going to go through just the first 20 weeks and just highlight some developmental landmarks. Just to keep in mind, in the first 20 weeks, it's legal to destroy that life at all times. So this is what's being destroyed. This is the level of development, okay? 18 days. The heart begins to beat with the baby's own blood, 18 days. 28 days, about a month, eyes, ears, and tongue are now developing. 42 days, a month and a half, the brain coordinates muscle and organ movements, and there's reflexes. Brain waves are detected, finger and toes develop. Body movements are detected. And this occurs, body movements occur 12 weeks before the mother is even aware of this. About 7 weeks, hiccups, frowning, squinting, furrowing of the brow, breathing, even though there's no air, breathing amniotic fluid, stretching, opening the mouth, yawning, and sucking. 7 weeks. 8 to 10 weeks, body is sensitive to touch, squinting, puckering of eyebrows, fingerprints are developing. 11 weeks, smiling. 12 to 17 weeks, now she can kick, the baby can kick, and mom feels it. Feet and toes curl, more complex hand and eye movements. 18 to 19 weeks, REM sleep. Ears are functioning now. Thumb sucking, 20 to 26 weeks. Okay. And again, this is about a 50-50 survival now at this point. So you can see some major, major landmarks of life have occurred prior to the halfway point in which abortion is legal across the board. Okay, so it's very clear that if the baby and Elizabeth leaped, she might have heard. The baby may have heard Mary's voice and responded to it. It's biologically plausible that that's what happened. There's a study that was published in 2013 that studied very carefully with ultrasound purposeful movement. And the top images are 3D images of the fetus compared to a full-term baby. Upper left, hand to mouth. Upper left is the hand to eye. Upper right, hand to mouth. So the gestures are now purposeful. The movements in the fetus at this age, in the window of abortion, move to the face, move to the hand, slow down as they reach their target, as we would do, slowing down, purposeful movement. Okay. Relevant to that, and this is, you know, the timing of this class was interesting because we've had a lot of bills, a state bill, but a national bill that passed the House last week that passed, I can't remember the vote count, that bans throughout the country late-term abortions after 20 weeks. And it's based on the science of when the baby feels pain. Now, when you hear this, I mean, my thought was I'd like to clap with one hand because this is really a compromise to celebrate, of course. And this is going to the Senate. And I did actually, in one of the advantages of preparing for this class, I was signing up for newsletters for the last several months and just really, you know, getting up to speed on the issues and on the bills from the state level. I mean, just mind-boggling what's going on. Various bills on funding and restrictions and promotions, and it's probably been going on since the beginning. I did write a letter to Richard Durbin expressing my encouragement to pass this bill in the Senate, and here's the letter I got October 6th. A decision as personal is best left to a woman, her family, her doctor, and her conscience. While abortion is an issue that has divided Americans, I believe we can acknowledge a woman's right to access safe reproductive health care and work together to reduce the number of abortions. Not exactly representative government. I would assume that it doesn't really matter how many letters he receives, that he's going to act according to his heart and his spirituality. You know, does he know Christ based on, I think it's a good adage to judge a tree by its fruit, and this is pretty bad fruit. All right. This is somewhat accurate representation of the states and the current laws on late-term abortion. The grayed states, including Illinois, allow abortion with various restrictions up to the delivery, up to full term. The purple states, which are better than the gray states, right, these have some degree of restrictions. And there's about 20 states now. This is a little bit outdated. There's about 20 states, as I said, that restrict it, 30 that don't. It's relevant to know when you think about this bill, and is there any, you know, who's going to benefit from restricting abortion at 20 weeks? So this is from the CDC. I will say it at the top. I don't think this is a great organization, and they've been deceptive many, many times in healthcare with their statistics. And obviously, the statistics are available to the public. There's going to be a lot of public political pressure to push these down. Okay, we're only aborting little babies that aren't real lives, and this is going to be what Satan would want. He would want us to believe. But if you look at the percentage of abortions reported in the late trimesters, which is greater than 20 weeks, 1%, 1.3%. That may sound like a small percentage, but a million abortions a year, this is between 10 and 20,000 lives that are being destroyed at this late term. So a bill like this could save that many lives. I think the number is probably much higher than that, percentage-wise. I just wouldn't believe any statistics, frankly. Okay. This, in these hearings that went on in the House, this was, and this bill came up several years ago, too, and I think this is actually from an older testimony. I want you to hear what Maureen Kondik has to say about pain, because this bill is based on pain, and the gruesome reality is, and the reason I'm showing this as a landmark for defining life, is that abortions, which are, and I'm not going to do anything graphic, these two classes, but I want you to understand, these infants, these babies, these unborn children are being murdered in the most violent ways imaginable, in the most barbaric ways imaginable, while they feel, while they can respond. And they're being injected so they die, or they're being simply just dismembered and pulled to pieces. And you can imagine the inhumanity of sentencing an adult to life and tying him up without sedation and pulling him apart piece by piece. And that's what's going on. That's the reality. And listen to what she has to say about pain.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Chairman Franks?
She talks fast.
Distinguished members of the subcommittee, I'm Dr. Maureen Kondik, Associate Professor of Neurobiology and Adjunct Professor of Pediatrics at the University of Utah School of Medicine. I thank you for this opportunity to testify. So the experience of pain is obviously very complex. Here I've summarized the important events of brain development relevant to pain perception. The three points I'd like to emphasize are these. First, brain development begins very early, by 4 weeks post-fertilization. Second, the neural circuitry underlying the most basic response to pain is in place by 8 weeks. This is the earliest point at which a fetus can feel pain at any in any capacity. And finally, the circuitry in the thalamus that's primarily responsible for both fetal and adult pain perception develops between 12 and 18 weeks post-fertilization. At this stage, a fetus is very well developed. All of the organs and structures are fully formed. She has a face, fingerprints, and based on my own experience with three pregnancies, a definite personality. The debate over fetal pain is not whether pain is detected by a fetus at 20 weeks. There's essentially universal agreement on this point in the scientific community. Rather, the debate concerns how pain is experienced.
Okay. So the sobering reality is that the best science that we have and the best understanding is that when we are terminating that life, that the baby is very aware that there's an attack, that he is, the baby, he or she is feeling this. And it is about the most, appalling thing you can put in your heart. Okay. This is what Roe versus Wade, I'm only going to show one slide, and this says it all, really. This is what the court decided. And I'm quoting Court Justice Blackmun. We need not resolve the difficult question when life begins. When those trained in the respective disciplines of medicine, philosophy, and theology are unable to arrive at any consensus, I don't know who they asked exactly, the judiciary at this point in the development of man's knowledge is not in a position to speculate as to the answer. There has always been strong support for the view that life does not begin until live birth. So I tell you that they, as science used for political purposes, there's absolutely no basis for these opinions today or then or ever. This is a horrific injustice. So let's go back to the Word of God, our anchor. What does God say, and why do we go to the Word? And this church has spoken out many, many times about the Word of God, and this audience knows why we do it. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Number one, God creates life. And I want to emphasize that. I mean, this is in his purview. I mean, this is in his wheelhouse. This is the essence of us, okay? And it would make sense that God determines when, if, how life begins. He is in complete control of this. The psalmist, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them? God makes this. It's not an accident. It's not an event where two people get together and a life is created. This is God creating life. In Acts, God who made the world and all things in it, he gives life to all people. Okay. And it's used by God in ways of punishment and ways of reward. It is often referred to as fruit. The psalmist again says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward." And I think about when we have... what's it called when you have set parties for people who are pregnant? Showers, that's it, showers. I never understood shower. Where's that come from? It really should be a day to glorify God. I mean, he's given us this. And we want to shower, we should shower God with gifts those days. In Genesis, not just the individual peoples, but people. In the Abrahamic covenant, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. So he's talking about the fruit of a people that follow. He can shut down that gift as well, and he uses that for his purposes. In Genesis 16:2, and Sarai said unto Abraham, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." God gives, God restrains. And there's many verses in the Bible like this. 1 Samuel, the same thing with Hannah. The Lord has shut up her womb. Deuteronomy 28, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because it talks about the blessings that the people... who will become Israel and the Jews, the blessing God has given to them for following his laws and statutes, and then the curses. And we live in a society that's now plagued with so many problems, more so than we've ever seen in our lifetime. And I go back to Deuteronomy 28 many, many times, and I'll say, I realize that God wasn't talking to the United States in this passage, but God's nature doesn't change. And I find so many times the United States and the social problems that we're facing are reflected in the words of Deuteronomy 28. Okay, so God has said in verse 4, blessed should be the fruit of thy body. Again, another blessing of the womb. If your people are blessed, you will be fruitful. But what if they're not? What if they don't follow God's statutes? Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Thy sons and daughters shall be given unto another people. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, and thou shalt not enjoy them. Shall go into captivity. Now, this doesn't describe abortion, because this describes birth and loss. But God doesn't differentiate between the unborn and the born child. He knows that the child is so emotionally attached to us. It is such a blessing and such a gift. And in order to guide people, get people's attention, get a nation, get individuals, we can lose our children. It would be God's glory to do that in order to not perish. And sometimes we're subject to these horrible things. And this is what I do in court. In this particular verse, when I testify, as I do, many of you may know this, may not, in families who are accused of child abuse when they're not. There's medical conditions, and I've reviewed a good 600 cases in 10 years. And there's an epidemic of dispersion of children falsely in child abuse, and not just in medical conditions, in non-medical conditions. And this is described in Deuteronomy 28. Okay, we are, of course, created in God's image, so when we terminate that life, we're destroying not only a living soul, a living person that God has given us, but it's actually made in God's image. And this is well discussed in the Bible. James 3:9, who have been made in the likeness of God. Genesis 1:9, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. So you see it three times in one verse. You realize that God is punctuating this. Hey, pay attention. This is the image of God. God does not distinguish between the fetus and the child in the Bible. There's no point that I could find, that I could hear other people talk about, that there is a distinction. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Talks about a conception. This is, of course, Jesus. And Matthew states differently. Matthew, a virgin shall be with a child. A virgin shall be with a child, and then bring forth a son. So God considers the unborn fetus, conception, a child. God's relationship begins before birth in Scripture. The psalmist says this, upon you I was cast from birth. The psalmist is acknowledging, you have been my God from my mother's womb, prior to birth. I'm going to dwell on this a little bit. I'm going to show you a couple video clips that really show God's glory. And there's a lot in these verses. It's a very famous verse, Psalms 139. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. Remember this word. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. Now, some of these are euphemisms for the uterus. We don't see the development until recent years. We have the instruments, the technology to do so. But God sees us in the womb, okay? My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. I think another euphemism for the womb. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. The eyes of God have seen us in the earliest stages when there's no form. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God gives life. He creates us. He numbers our days. And by definition, he determines the period of our death. He may not determine what job we have, what clothes I wear, the car I drive, a lot of things. I have free will. These things aren't of my free will. These are of God's. Woven, sometimes used as knitted. Amazing choice of words. Okay, watch this video. And remember the stage of development where the DNA starts to mix together, the very essence of the start of life from a chromosomal standpoint when the sperm and the egg combine. Watch this and see, ask yourself, is there anything that looks like weaving or knitting, okay? You're going to be amazed at this.
Meanwhile, inside the egg, the tightly packed male genetic material spreads out. A new membrane forms around the genetic material, creating the male pronucleus. Inside, the genetic material reforms into 23 chromosomes. The female genetic material, awakened by the fusion of the sperm with the egg, finishes dividing, resulting in the female pronucleus, which also contains 23 chromosomes. As the male and female pronuclei form, spiderweb-like threads, called microtubules, pull them toward each other. The two sets of chromosomes join together, completing the process of fertilization. At this moment, a unique genetic code arises, instantly determining gender, hair color, eye color, and hundreds of other characteristics. This new single cell, the zygote, is the beginning of a new human being.
Amazing, huh? Anything looks like a loom, a weaving and knitting? How true is our God? Okay, another famous passage, Job 10, 8 through 12. I want to highlight some of the words in this. Your hands fashioned and made me altogether. Remember now that you have made me as clay. So what does that depict? You've played with putty before? Okay, molded like clay. Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? I get the picture of non-substance and then the curdling substance coming up from non-substance, right? Non-form into form. You clothed me with skin and flesh. You knitted me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and loving kindness. Okay, amazing. I'm going to show you what the... Now, we could be assembled a lot of ways. When you think about the babies developed, we could be inflated like a Bobo doll. You know, we could just... we could be assembled in little pieces. You know, the placenta might hold an arm and a leg and an eyeball, and at delivery, they all just come together and it comes out whole. God could have made the way we are created a number of potential ways. But he made us, he weaved us together, he knitted us together, and he molded us. Okay, listen, this video is a little lower resolution, but look at this clip and see if this depicts what God said. Watch the transformation of the head, the eyes, the arms, the spine, the back, the legs. God chooses his words very carefully. Okay. The last video I want to show you is an amazing story. Alexander Sirius is, and I don't know whether he's a Christian researcher, he's a brilliant man, a mathematician, and has worked with the MRI, actually helped develop the first MRI scan. He was at Yale, and now he's at Columbia University, I believe. He studied through micro-imaging techniques, and he's kind of close to the vest of how he images the unborn baby, presumably it's some sort of an MRI, but he uses these images into mathematical models and creates very detailed changes during development of various organ systems. And he's done this with not babies, with adults too, and the miracle of life in general. He wrote a book called From Conception to Birth. And this short clip I'm going to show you, I want you to listen to his words, how he's trying to grasp with what he's seen. And through his lectures, and he's been on TED TV, it's one of the online think tanks or whatever it is, where you hear lectures in various walks of life. He grasps, I mean, he's seeing closer than any of us can see. And he's really without excuse, more than we are. He is looking at these things, and he's at complete loss for how the body develops, how this miracle happens. listen to what he has to say.
I'm going to show you something pretty unique. Here's a human heart at 25. It's just basically two strands. And like this magnificent origami, cells are developing at, 1 million cells per second at 4 weeks as it's just folding on itself. Within 5 weeks, you can start to see the early atrium and the early ventricles. 6 weeks, these folds are now beginning with a papilla and the inside of the heart, actually being able to pull down each one of those valves in your heart until you get actually a mature heart and then basically the development of the entire human body. The magic of the mechanisms inside each genetic structure saying exactly where that nerve cell should go. The complexity of these, the mathematical models on how these things are indeed done are beyond human comprehension. Even though I am a mathematician, I look at this with a marvel of how do these instruction sets not make these mistakes as they build what is us. It's a mystery, it's magic, it's divinity. I mean, then when you start to take a look at it,
and I'll finish with this scripture, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature, so the power of God that we can't see directly, but we can see the product of that, it's been clearly seen. Life, in any form, life is a miracle. Being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. And you don't need this technology to see God's miracle. But we today, it's interesting to see the sign, some of the brightest minds in our community looking at God closer, looking at the product of God closer than we could ever have been able to in life, and scratching their head and coming to realize that we're so far from being able to understand, much less create life. We can manipulate life. So it's really inspiring, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't put this in the context of a creator. So, and just to let you know, next week we'll be talking about the darker side. We've emphasized mostly life and creation today. We're going to talk about the abortion industry, and all the dark aspects of that. It's not going to be graphic, but it's going to be heavy on the heart, for sure. And I haven't completely forgot my itinerary yet on what I'm going to talk about, but amongst things, what is a Christian's response? What are we to do? In the face of evils in our society, such as abortion, do we see satanic fingerprint here? Is what we're seeing not only the result of man's sin nature, but is Satan actively trying to destroy? And I would say yes. The darkness of the abortion industry that have been come to light in recent years particularly, what happens to the fetal tissue that is aborted? And you would be shocked to know that this is being put in, amongst other things, consumer products that many of you have been exposed to, as a matter of fact. Abortifacients. There are many medications, many things that we're exposed to that inadvertently would increase the chance of abortion. And of course, the adverse outcomes of abortion, what the mother suffers as a result. And I've had some firsthand experience with that that I'll share with you. Thank you very much.